While we can spend a lot of our time thinking about the big things, it is actually the small things that really matter. The whole summer trip can be spoiled if you lose your wallet. Forget the baking soda, and the birthday cake is ruined. One tiny misstep on that early morning walk or run where you were trying to get healthy, or in my case, a bike ride on a glorious summer morning, and one little tumble, and all of a sudden you find yourself in the hospital. And really, all those things are sourced in what dwells within us. That powerful unseen reality that pushes itself out into the visible world. Paint your house on a hot day with a very special friend, and you can have the time of your life. But go on a beach vacation with a couple of chronic whiners, and you might as well be a character scraping the basement floor of Dante's Inferno. Jesus invites his followers to listen with new ears, to perceive the world with new eyes, to begin to experience the world from a completely different perspective, to be attentive, not to the obvious and the popular, but to the discreet and the seldom celebrated. That despite all other worries in ourselves and in our world, we might fully trust in the greatness of small things, especially birthed in authentic love, gratitude, fairness, and understanding. If we're to do that, it calls for a complete reorientation away from the temptations of our lesser selves, or what we in religion might call our fallen selves. This fallen state that equates earthly power with prominence, great wealth with priority, social achievement with honor, personal pleasure with security, and domination as law and order. The new way of Jesus' order instead asks us to see things totally different. And in the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel, Jesus, to me, is admitting to the implausibility of his teachings and the difficulty that will be met by those who are trying to live according to its truth. An effort that must begin in the small seed. Not only just a small seed, but the smallest of all seeds, where the sower liberally scatters those potentially irrelevant seeds without careful concern to their proper location or the fitness of the soil that might be ready to receive it. The seed itself will need to cope, if it's lucky enough to take root in bright ground, with all those weeds around it, this hospitable community that they will face at every turn. We notice Jesus is putting together a very unlikely movement, one that includes those normally picked last, not first. Fishermen and prostitutes and those who have sold out to the overwhelming power of the empire and were already condemned as corrupt by every single one except Jesus. Jesus didn't comb through resumes on his LinkedIn account. He didn't check the minimum 3 references as a prerequisite for the inner circle. Very strange indeed. For those who will be entrusted with this very important message upon which hinges the salvation of the entire world. Doesn't seem to be a very good manager of a campaign, does he? Not people who were well connected. Not people who had power and influence and prominence. No, just everyday seeds. And in their own way, these disciples and his family members and others will totally misunderstand him, and most at some point will abandon him and betray him and his teachings. But there's Jesus, still scattering seed, hoping perhaps against the credulity of hope itself that something will catch on and break through and trigger a change. Against the banality and brutality of all other things. The impact of a mustard seed suggests that everything is interconnected from the small to the large. It's all intertwined. It's all integrated. It all fits together. What you sow in secret below the surface and in the darkness will eventually find itself exposed in the light of day. In a world of materialistic exaggeration and obsessions over our physical health and wellness, the mustard seed tells us that the soul, that soul work, this inner working of the Spirit, this attention that we give to our inner being, is body work as well. This summer, we are emphasizing gratitude and encouraging gratitude habits. Small seeds cast into the soil of our souls to help cultivate its callous way of life, to allow us to break free, to see these little tiny pieces of goodness that we begin to implant into our lives to take root and to have meaning and to have power and to have significance. 3 weeks ago, we suggested a gratitude journal where every other day or every day or once a week, you would just write down a few things that you're grateful for. And at this point now, you may have thought, I'll do that, or maybe have gotten off to a good start. And now you're kind of like, well, I feel guilty that I haven't done it in a while, so I'll just forget about it. Well, we don't practice guilt as a permanent way of life in the community of the redeemed. We practice grace. So if you haven't started yet, don't hesitate. Start making those little notations. Something I'm grateful for today. This week, allow that garden to grow. Last week, we presented these little Lego toys, a childhood way of fabricating an incredible kind of life or building or imagination. It's just, you can do anything with Legos, don't you agree? We ask that you would put that in a prominent place and that you would look upon it during the week and ask yourself, what am I building my life upon? If you could strip away all the layers, what's at the bedrock, foundation of my experience? Is it a life of gratitude? Is it a good seed that's taken root? This week we are offering pebbles. They're in baskets as you leave. We perhaps believe that you could take these and place it in your pocket or your purse, place that you might touch on a regular basis with this question that would come to you about the burdens that perhaps you are carrying or someone else you know is carrying, and to begin an idea of how to lessen the burdens that people carry through the world. How can I release myself of the burden that I'm carrying? How can I help my neighbor who is also carrying a burden to feel released, to allow a smooth stone in your pocket or purse to be turned over and examined, and knowing that, like a small seed turned over into our soul, life can take root. Something powerful can happen with something so small, so seemingly insignificant, that these gratitude habits can have a powerful impact into your life. I've had no less than 5, almost 10 people that have come to me after this topic was introduced and have said, "These practices of gratitude have changed my life. They've helped me get through a tough time. They were a suggestion from a counselor that I thought, that's silly, I'm not going to do that. And only after beginning the practice began to realize this was a lifeline for me in the storms that I faced in recovery." Recognizing that this small, tiny, little practice is the smallest of all seeds, sown into our lives and into our hearts, invited by grace to grow and to take root and to change our whole way of seeing our world and the anxieties that we carry and the worries that are present and the truly difficult things that we bear living through these times. They don't go away, but perhaps they're more capably managed. Did you know that what you do with your heart, in the metaphorical sense, can impact what happens to your literal heart? This miracle muscle that is beating without your awareness most times, keeping the blood flowing and the oxygen coming in and out and allowing you to be alive. How you treat that heart emotionally has an impact on how it performs. Dr. Mark Laponis is the medical director of the famed Canyon Ranch Health Resort and an expert in what he calls integrative medicine. According to some of the most up-to-date research from all over the world, Dr. Laponis says that many of the mysteries concerning our health revolve around the immune system. And one of the biggest discoveries in the last decade is how pivotal the role inflammation plays in modern illness, including heart disease, cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's, stroke, and many others. That inflammation in our body is a stress response of the immune system caused when the white blood cells rush to handle what they perceive as a problem. Now, most of you are more likely aware of this connection between emotional health and bodily manifestation when you're under duress. Your face goes flush when you are angry. Your stomach turns into knots when you are nervous. Headaches and hives can plague the supersensitive. And if you remember nothing else from this sermon this morning, I encourage you to underline in your mind these two little words, a stress response. Now, this stress response was important for our survival throughout our human history. Being alerted to bears and wolves and poisonous mushrooms and storm clouds and infectious diseases, there was diligence that was necessary to identify all those threats lurking around every corner. But now, many of the stresses we encounter, still leading to inflammation in the body, are more abstract and are the result of trying to conquer that other wilderness territory that lives between our ears. Will I have enough money to retire? Will that workmate get the promotion that I wanted? Will my kids and grandkids grow up in a safe world? Will I even have kids or grandkids in the future? Does my spouse still love me? Do I still love my spouse? All these are real questions with real world implications, but a large measure of our lives are focused and occupied with worries that are far less probabilities to our basic survival than our ancestors. We are not able to embrace the present. We're too worried about the past or fearful of the future. And the stress explodes through our heads and inflames our tissues and makes us far less healthy. The hormones released when you feel gratitude, love, and compassion are very different from those released from worry, anxiety, or fear, Dr. Lipona says. And gratitude may be an antidote to many of these negative responses. An antidote that can have positive impact. Not only in our physical health, which is important, but not the ultimate importance, but in our relationships, in our sense of fulfillment and meaning in life, in our ability to see the beautiful sunrise or the sunset, and to feel alive and to feel the air go through our lungs, and to know that there is a God who is good, and that there is love that is present, and that I am able to place myself in the center of God's good grace, to receive forgiveness and mercy and kindness and compassion, and to sense this wonderful connection of gratitude for the simple gift of being alive. Now, chapter 9 in the Gratitude Diaries, which I've recommended, can spell out the details of the chemicals that are released in your brain from gratitude. But why wouldn't you want an antidote? So simple and certainly affordable. And you don't need to worry if it's covered by your medical insurance. That can have as much of an impact into your well-being as any pill a doctor can prescribe. Try this. If you have the capacity and have one of these fancy phones that can chart your heart rate on your wrist, just turn it on sometime and check your pulse count. And then for 10 minutes, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, slower and slower and slower. You'll discover that pulse rate is going to go down. Now, some of you have a low pulse rate. Maybe there's another exercise for you all. But for those that may have the heartbeat of a rabbit, it may be helpful to pause your life, to open up your gratitude journal, to consider what God has blessed you with, and to breathe it in with joy and acceptance, with compassion and mercy. And then as you breathe out, to think about all this anxiety, the rocks, not the stones, not the pebbles, the rocks that you, the boulders that you carry with you, let them fall off and onto the floor and down the gutter. 10 minutes a day. Bathed in the air of love, watered by grace and blessed by the power of God. Mustard seeds cast upon the soil of your soul, hard stones turned over and over until they're smooth, the language of Jesus. Stress relievers, an affront to the social posturing we too often praise through our love of power and privilege and self-promotion. Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is among you, around you, within you. Your sins are forgiven. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Do no harm to those who are around you and seek to do a little bit of good. Pray for those who oppose you. Remember the wonderful, essential gift of your daily bread. Pray, not my will, but thine be done. Be grateful, remembering God loves you down to the number of hairs on your head, or for some, the lack of hairs on your head." There's no guarantees. You can do all the right things and still get sick or hit by a bus. But something as small as a few gratitude habits can improve your odds and give you a little better fighting chance. And I can attest to at least this much. It certainly makes your journey, whatever life throws at you, a much smoother ride.